The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Donnie Football Friday. Let's dig into all the games, starting with the most pertinent one to us, and let's bring on Nick Kostos here, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Is he on? There he is. There he is, Donnie, right in the middle of us. Take a bow, Nick. There he goes. I'll have a more proper introduction for you in a moment, Nick. Suffice to say for now that you're the Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, and that this number is 6.5. Our compatriot here, Bob Pompeiani, thought it might go to 8. Everybody's expecting a blowout around here. You expecting the same?
Well, just for great to be on with you guys. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. To answer Donnie's question for the people watching on video, no, I'm hanging and banging, buddy. Clanging and banging, working out, just on the Peloton, lifting some weights. The hair's a mess right now. Put the hat back on. The point spread's not going to go to 8. If it went to 8, everybody would bet the Browns. But I actually do think the point spread needs to be a little higher for the Steelers here. I think it should be at least a 7-point spread here. I do like the Steelers in the game. But there's something that we have to acknowledge, right, with Jameis Winston. And I think even the biggest Steelers fan that hates the Browns has to acknowledge that Jameis is pretty fun to watch, right? I actually think, and I would encourage everybody to think about things in these terms, I've been watching sports since 1990, the NFL every Sunday since 1990. I think Jameis Winston, we overuse the term like generational unicorn. I think he's an actual like generational player when it comes to stuff like this. When the game starts and he could throw for 400 yards or throw 5 pick sixes or both in every game he plays in. I've never seen a player like this at the quarterback position in the NFL. And with that, guys, so we all think that's true, right? Everybody says it. The Jameis Winston experience, we saw it Monday night against Denver. So if that's true, then we have to acknowledge that when Jameis plays in a game, extreme outcomes are always possible. So I look at Steelers-Browns on Sunday, and I see one of two things happening. And I think it's, depending on how you want to bet this game, you the person listening, depends on what you think is more likely. I either think the Browns are going to win, forget about the points, Cleveland will just win the game, or the Steelers are going to beat the stuffing out of them and win by like 14 or 17 points. I lean more towards the Steelers side of this, especially considering we have seen the Browns' back end of that defense get burnt all season long. Think about what Bo Nix did to them on Monday night. Russell Wilson, the moon balls to George Pickens. I don't know how Cleveland's stopping it. And I do think that Alex Highsmith's going to be back. Jameis is going to make mistakes in this game. The Steelers' defense obviously going to be able to capitalize. So I like the Steelers. I laid the 6.5. And I would also say Steelers alternates. Steelers -9.5, -13.5 at better prices, where if Jameis is going to do that and throw 2-3 interceptions in this game, I think Pittsburgh can win and win big, but I do like the Steelers guys on Sunday.
Nick, do you anticipate the current line moving at all? Even if it's by a half point or a full point, do you expect that, and which way do you think it could go?
My sense is that it will go up, if anything, and I think it will close Steelers -7. There are other games, Donnie, that you could ask me about, and I would feel like more confident in saying that. I would be shocked if the Browns got bet, if this came off 6.5. My guess is that this closes either a full 7 or like in between 6.5 and 7, like a juiced 7 or towards Cleveland, or a juice 6.5 towards Pittsburgh. But I do think the Steelers will take money.
How do you feel about the total in this game?
So where are we at right now? We are at, let's see, just refreshing my screen. And of course, when you need the screen to refresh, it usually doesn't. Okay, we're at 43.5. I'd look it over. It's a Jameis game. 44 is one of the key numbers when we talk about betting totals. 41, 44, 47. Mm-hmm. So this is below one of the key numbers. I think Pittsburgh is scoring at minimum. The Steelers will score 27 points in this game. I think Pittsburgh's going to score a lot in this game. Now, I don't feel as good about the total as I do about the Steelers covering. I would bet the over if I had to at 43.5. But I will say, for people out there, if you like the under in the game, find a 44 and bet under 44. And if you like the over, find a 43.5 and bet over 43.5. There's a big difference between those two numbers.
We're talking to the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcast. One of the subplots for sure in this game, Nick, is Myles Garrett and TJ Watt and Defensive Player of the Year. Myles Garrett took a little shot at TJ last time around. He thinks TJ took a shot at him after he won Defensive Player of the Year. TJ was quiet. Myles Garrett was the best player on the field. Therefore, in this game, I'm taking TJ to get 4 sacks. What's the sack number for him, and where does he stand in Defensive Player of the Year odds?
So I think it's a really interesting question. So TJ Watt is a big favorite right now to win Defensive Player of the Year. Minus 275, which means if you want to win $100, you have to lay 275 to make it happen. He's a big favorite. For context, TJ Watt is a bigger favorite right now to win Defensive Player of the Year than Jaden Daniels is to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. So Watt's a bigger favorite than Josh Allen right now is to win MVP. It's a big favorite. Myles Garrett is the second choice on the board at 10-1. What's fascinating is that TJ Watt only has 9.5 sacks. Now, he's only 2 behind the league lead right now, but Myles Garrett has 10, so he's behind Garrett, and he's a full 2 behind Trey Hendrickson. Now, where things get problematic for someone like Myles Garrett, we have only had 1 Defensive Player of the Year in the last, 30 years in the NFL come from, a really bad team. And I believe it's Cortez Kennedy for, the 1992 Seattle Seahawks. Generally, you will see, unless Michael Strahan breaks the sack record on a Giants team that goes 9-7, generally you will see Defensive Player of the Year go to a defensive player on a team that achieves big success. Like Myles Garrett won last year. Browns made the playoffs, obviously. Browns aren't making the playoffs this year. So I do think that Watt should be a more vulnerable favorite. He's not your classic slam dunk Defensive Player of the Year winner right now. It's just that everyone behind him, Garrett, bad team. Xavier McKinney is of the Green Bay Packers safety. They just lost again last night, and he's not as impactful as TJ Watt is. Patrick Surtain of the Denver Broncos, who just got torched on Monday night by the Cleveland Browns and Jameis Winston. Will Anderson of the Houston Texans, and Will Anderson right now has, let's see, he has 9.5 sacks, the same as TJ Watt. There's no way Will Anderson's as good as TJ Watt and doesn't have the pedigree. So I think Watt should be a more vulnerable favorite. But given the fact that all the candidates behind him are very flawed, I think he's extremely likely, guys, to win another Defensive Player of the Year.
Nick, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to you following that Steelers loss in Cleveland and was kind of in a panic based on the BetMGM odds of the Steelers even making the playoffs. Now, since the last couple of weeks have gone by, the Steelers winning last week, they bounce back, the Ravens losing last week to Philadelphia. Now the Steelers are finally viewed as the favorite, it appears, to win the AFC North. So do you think that would be a smart bet, even though it's a little bit under even money, or should people be siding now with the Ravens since you can get them at an underdog price?
Do you want to play this out? I think it's really interesting. what's the Steelers record right now? 9-3?
9-3.
And Baltimore's 8-5, right?
Okay. Yes.
So let's assume, I'm bad at this, math and stuff. Just write this down for me. So let's assume Pittsburgh wins this weekend, right? The Steelers are 10-3 and the Ravens are 8-5. So let's play out the schedule, okay? Steelers next week on the road in Philly against the Eagles.
They haven't won there since 1965, so I'm not counting on that one as a win.
Okay, 10-4. At the Ravens on Saturday, December 21st.
I think they could actually do it, which the thing is, I'm pretty sure by the math that somebody laid out, that's all they need to do, I think. Might be wrong.
They win that game, then obviously they're in great goal, because they sweep and they have the head-to-head tiebreaker. Yeah. The Ravens need to finish ahead of them. But the betting market will have them as more than a three-point underdog in that game.
Yeah.
Let's say they lose, just for the purposes of this conversation.
Okay.
They lose. Christmas Day, home Chiefs.
I feel like the Steelers are going to win that game. I don't know what the market will look like, but...
I guess like the point that I'm making is like they could lose, but all of these games we're talking about, these last three games, and then host the Bengals in week 18 where you would think they would win. But I mean, like if Burrow and Chase and Higgins are playing, they could obviously score a lot of points. Mm-hmm. Now, like compare and contrast with the Ravens schedule coming out of the bye. Ravens on bye this week. At the Giants, win, just by how many points. Then let's say they beat the Steelers, right? Then at the Texans, which is a tough game, but Baltimore will be favored in that game in the betting market on Christmas. And then they host the Browns in week 18. They'll be a big favorite in that game.
Mm.
So, yeah, like Pittsburgh should be the favorite right now. But when you actually look at the schedules here, doesn't it feel like it's a little closer than the betting market thinks right now? Like, I think this is far from a slam dunk right now for Pittsburgh.
Nick, we appreciate the time, man. Great stuff as it is every single week with you.
Appreciate it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck. And let's go Steelers on Sunday. And one prop for everybody. I give him out every week. I'll do it again. Like George Pickens receiving yards prop can't be 72.5. Not against the secondary with the way Russell Wilson's throwing the deep ball. I think Pickens goes over 100 yards on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns.
In penalties or receiving yards?
Maybe he's like the wide receiver Jameis Winston, where it's like yards and pick sixes, where he'll have 100 receiving yards and like four personal foul penalties in the game.
Can you get props on such things, like over under 1.5 unsportsmanlike?
Oh, I mean, it'd be him and like Aziz Al-Shaair, I guess, would be like the two like favorites every single week, right? Like who's either going to like knock a quarterback unconscious or like taunt officials or do like a gun hand signal.
Thank you, Nick.
You got it, guys.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. That guy is a legend, is he not?
I'm glad I asked him that question about the divisional odds, because the Steelers now sit at minus 175. The Ravens are plus 140. Are you aware of what they started at coming into the season?
What?
The Steelers were the last projected team in the AFC North by a wide margin. They were plus 1,200 to win the division, and they are now minus 175.
Wait, so they, by most Vegas numbers, they were predicted to finish last?
Yes.
But what kind of idiots are out there thinking they were going to finish behind the Browns?
The odds that opened the season in the AFC North, the Ravens to win it were plus 105. Cincinnati was plus 175. The Browns were plus 500. The Steelers were plus 1,200.
That's incredulent. It really is. I mean, who's the most surprising team in the NFL based on preseason projections and wins?
I think my pick would be the Vikings. I mean, the team won 10 games, and I still don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah, probably the Vikings. It's funny with the Chargers. See, Harbaugh won't get, I think, as many votes as he should for Coach of the Year, because merely by his presence before the season, even though, what were they, five wins last year?
Yeah.
They were horrible.
Herbert missed, what, the last three or four games.
They were projected to win nine this year. So it's going to be like, well, that wasn't that huge of a surprise. I think it is. Sean Payton's won eight. He's a viable candidate, right?
Yeah.
And certainly Dan Quinn is a viable candidate.
Yeah, I still go back. I feel like O'Connell and the Vikings are not getting enough love in that.
For sure. You're right about that. I think those are your candidates right now. Would be Kevin O'Connell, Dan Quinn, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin. And I think Harbaugh should be there. I'm sorry. He walks into a new situation. They had some personnel losses. They came in with, everybody thought, no receivers. Hardly at all. He's got him at 8-4.
Yeah, I mean, they have a rookie receiver who
and Payton
is going to be a 1,000-yard guy.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I think this might be the year that Tomlin wins it, though. I do.
You think Hard Knocks is going to help him out with that?
Can't hurt. He was the star of that show, Donnie.
I think that is like tailor-made, though, to make him the star. Like, he can talk all he wants about how he has no interest in watching it, and he hates it, and he hates all the coverage, and the organization doesn't like the distraction that Hard Knocks is. There aren't many guys in the league that Hard Knocks was more tailor-made for than Mike Tomlin. The only other guy on that entire show that I think can take any sort of shine is the quarterback they're facing on Sunday, Jameis Winston, just because he's, you know, he's always going to be lively, comic relief. The Browns could be the worst team in football, but he's going to be like the Mr. Good Vibes guy.
For sure. But I think Tomlin is the star just by being himself. I just think he's a compelling character. Just sitting there, you know, watching him eating Fritos and going over film was compelling theater.
A great choice, by the way. Chili cheese Fritos are awesome.
Is that what he was eating? Chili cheese? Yeah, that is a good choice.
That's a great pick. Now, we hear all the time, too, and we've heard for years, that the moment Mike Tomlin does decide to retire from coaching, he's going to get a call within 5 minutes from every single network there is.
Yeah.
And I think that Hard Knocks is just another way to display that.
In the meantime, I think it would be wonderful if this was the first time in 8 years that they were at least competitive in a playoff game. I think that would be good. All these other things, true as they are, and aside, I think it's time, which is where we began the show, and we'll invite our friend Bob Pompiani back momentarily here on Adonis Football Friday with Bob, and he'll join us for a Bechtold breakdown. You want to tease ahead to that, Austin?
Yes. I talked to Nick Costos off air. He thinks that Penn State is going to win the Big Ten championship game against Oregon. What do you think of that?
What's the spread on that game?
3.5 Oregon. So he has money on
Holy
Penn
horse
State.
Milk. I thought it would be bigger for Oregon.
So, okay. Well, I guess that doesn't mean that he has them winning, but he does have them. He's taking them with a 3.5.
That'll be part of our picks in the last segment,
also,
too.
Steelers will honor the class of 2024 in the Hall of Honor this Sunday. We'll talk a little bit about that. And what's going on at Point State Park, an upgrade for the 2026 NFL Draft.
It's Adonis Football Friday. Bob Pompiani in. Bob, why is your head gigantic on that screen and me and Donnie look like little pinheads?
The camera's way too close.
Camera's way too close.
You look great. Don't get me wrong.
I'm scary.
I could look at you. You can watch.
Jeez.
You can watch on 93.7
The better?
Fan. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that is better, actually.
Good. Can I kick my feet up then?
Sure. Josh Miller used to in that very chair.
I got reamed out for doing it when I was over there with Ron.
Like, Ron didn't like that.
I didn't do it. Yeah. I did it because I had a knee issue and I needed to stretch it out.
He didn't like that.
Ron didn't let you stretch.
Well, he didn't let him put his feet. I think feet up on the counter is a bit much myself. I think it's disrespectful. I agree with Ron.
If this were a dining facility, I would understand that.
Sometimes it is. Donnie's eating his food right over there right now.
That's his choice. That's his choice. He's taking a risk. You, of course, have all your bacterial.
Oh, he's got it all ready to go.
Stuff ready to clean everything.
What kind of aftershave do you use, Bob?
It's called Xerius. They make a cologne, but also an aftershave.
I use Old Spice, which I really enjoy. Donnie, do you use aftershave?
I look like UConn Cornelius. No, Joe.
You actually do.
Have you ever found food in your beard? Like, does it get caught up there? Was it like, for example?
There are times. Well, so what happens, like, sometimes if we'll go somewhere nice, like, I'll throw some beard oil in, and that ends up, like,
repelling food.
What does that do, beard oil?
It's a good, like moisturizer for it. You know, kind of like you would use, like, you know, if you use, like, stuff for your skin.
Does your wife like your beard?
She's not my wife yet. We're a couple years down the line here. But yes,
Sarah does.
She loves
it. Why did I think you were married?
I thought so, too. I've made that mistake a couple of times.
I'm getting there.
It's about time you justified what you've done for the last how many years.
Oh, we're working on that.
If you're willing to go to the beard oil, anything can happen.
But yeah, she has told me.
If she's willing to accept it, then anything can happen.
She has told me if I ever go clean shaven again that we're done.
Wow.
That's interesting.
I think more jokingly, but... I do look a lot better with a beard.
I thought the beard oil would repel crumbs, not catch them. But I guess I was wrong.
It catches some.
Limits, do you use aftershave?
No. No, I do not.
May I ask why?
I've never tried it.
I honestly also, like, if I do shave, I'll use the electric razor and not really worry about
it. I do too.
Yeah.
Aftershave.
That's a wonderful point.
I'm supposed to use that. I'm on blood thinners, but I don't because it doesn't give a clean enough shave. So I use the blade, but sometimes if I nick myself, I could be bleeding for quite a while.
I get afraid of that, too. That's what a staph infection will do in 12 days in the hospital. Any little cut
I'm telling you, it does. It's to be taken seriously.
Sometimes the electric razor, though, will give me like a couple of marks. It'll go away after a couple hours, yeah. But it'll leave your neck red. How do I not do that? I don't like that.
Wonderful question. Bob will answer it later, but we're taking up your time here, Limits.
Thank you, Bob.
It's time for the Bechtold Breakdown, which also is intergalactically listened to. The 50-minute mark is coming up, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It's a Donnie Football Friday, and it's a Bechtold Breakdown.
And we start on December 6th, this Friday, with the Steelers Hall of Honor. The Steelers will honor Jason Gildon, Casey Hampton, Dick LeBeau, Willie Parker in the Hall of Honor class of 2024. They'll be honored during halftime of the game against the Browns. Favorite memory of any of those guys? Take your pick.
Well, I saw Casey last night. He looks great. He's lost a lot of weight, and he's in terrific shape, it looks like to me. I'm going to go with Willie Parker with a 75-yard touchdown run. I can't help but take that play because it still is the longest Super Bowl touchdown run ever. The fact that Starks and Faneca opened up the hole and boom, Fast Willie was off to the races. Nobody's ever come close to that since in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Hampton always one of my favorites. I mean, I was somebody who, when I did play, I was obviously on both sides of the line. One of the great nicknames, I think, in all of Pittsburgh sports, Big Snack. I mean, he was what you want a nose tackle to be, especially in old school football. The guy was barely 6 foot. I think his height was always generous, like it is with a lot of guys. 6 foot, probably like 330.
No one hated training camp more than Casey Hampton.
Oh, that's true, too. Well, I mean, there was a while he could barely get through that.
Well, I think he enjoyed the fact that Cowher would put him over there on a bike, almost like a sideshow at a carnival. Oh, there's Hampton on the bike, you know, because he violated all the things you were supposed to do.
But it didn't matter. When he was out there, he was just eating up blockers.
You still remember that hit on Eddie George?
Oh, he knocked him out.
Knocked him out.
Remember that? That was just...
Listen, if we started a football team, we had to play 3-4, and you had a pick of any nose tackle who ever lived, and I got Casey Hampton. I'm sure there have been better ones, but not many. I'd be very happy with that selection. But my memory of those four, as Limits asked for, is Dick LeBeau. Remember talking to him every year at training camp, and he was one of the first guys I did free association with. Because he knew everything about everything,
oh,
Bob.
He's a smart man.
He's a musician. Yep. He's a guitar player. Great golfer. All kinds of things. Just a renaissance man. So that might be my particular favorite one there. Did you know, by the way, Donnie, that you mentioned jogging at training camp, that Colony used to jog with Bill Cowher in the mornings?
Yep.
Really?
Yes. Did you know that?
No, that's pretty nice. I mean, that's a great campus out there. I mean, I grew up right down the road from it.
Do you remember that, Bob?
A little bit hilly,
absolutely,
though.
Absolutely.
Were media people jealous when Colony would take off with Cowher for a jog?
He wanted to go. Jim always wanted to be up early and did it, and Cowher did it. And so I'm sure they invited him in, and they did it as a routine. And I'm sure Colony had his share of Bill Cowher, get your butt moving, what are you doing?
No doubt. No doubt. Next.
Did you know that T.J. Watt leads Myles Garrett every major category since they both came into the league in 2017? Watt with more sacks, more quarterback hits. Tackles, Watt has over 100 more. Tackles for loss, Watt has almost 20 more. Forced fumbles, Watt has 12 more. Fumble recoveries, 7 more. 7 interceptions, Myles Garrett with 0 interceptions. And T.J. Watt with 48 passes defense in his career. Only 16 for Myles Garrett. Does Myles Garrett have an interception in this game? But how do you take away from these numbers? Is there anything that significantly stands out to you, Bob?
Significant in that he's much better than Myles Garrett. And I say much. People nationally do have this thing where they put him up. I don't know what kind of metrics people look at, and there are a lot of different ways you can break them all down. But ultimately, it's about what you do in those moments. And I think T.J. Watt has bested him in every single one of those categories.
It's tough for me to say he's much better, Bob. I give him
They're
the edge.
They're both great.
I give him
but
the
I'm
edge.
Saying that
I do, but much better, I wouldn't
did
say
Did you
that.
Hear those statistics?
I know. But when I look at both players...
What defines much better? I mean...
It's more than just a little better. It's much. I think if you asked every offensive tackle who ever had to go against them, that would be the most interesting vote of
I'm
all.
Yeah, I'm sure. Especially if you're just willing to say it and you don't have it tied to either team. Just what it's like to go against both.
Yeah. That would be a great story.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've always thought maybe in individual games, like a couple of weeks ago, Miles Garrett plays one of his best games and T.J. Watt is really nowhere to be found. But more often than not, this is a T.J. Watt one-sided affair for
me. It is, but I'll say this, Donnie. Last year in Cleveland, Garrett set the tone with that huge hit on the goal line
early.
Oh, and
he said it this year, too, I thought.
They're started. This series is swinging just a tiny bit here. If they win this game, and I don't think they will, I think the Steelers are going to blow them out, and I think Watt's going to get 4 sacks. I do. But if the Browns win, it'll be the first time in their history since they came back that they've won 3 in a row.
I think people also will try to make the argument that the like defensive schemes are a little bit different, and that's why Garrett's numbers may be down, but he's the better player because he's more of a defensive end in a defense that usually features 4 guys across the front, whereas Watt is almost always a stand-up guy out on the edge. Now, I understand that that's part of it, but I don't think the gap should be that wide with some of their numbers.
I agree. T.J. Watt, to me, is the better player. He is over the course of his career. But, man, it was real clear the other night in Cleveland who was the best player. And I think T.J. wants to win, number one. He talked about that this week. And he's a team guy. We know that. But every athlete thinks about that. Every athlete thinks about who are the other greatest at my position, and I want to be better than them.
Those aggravator Twitter accounts from like the ML football and all that. They put out a bunch of odd things, but I thought this one was cool. From the New York Times, Willie Colon said that Steelers coach Mike Tomlin saved his life in 2010, saying, quote, "He saved me. I was in a deep depression, drinking and doing God knows what. He let me travel with the team, which saved me. I love football so much. He saved my life." And, you know, thinking just how much, you know, Tomlin is... We see him at Hard Knocks. We hear about just the way that players want to go and play for the Steelers and play for Tomlin. Do we give Tomlin enough credit for like what he means to the players?
Well, I think that's the one thing that separates him mostly. And I know people are going to still harp on playoff wins until he gets it, and that's true. But at the same time, what you saw on Hard Knocks could be a selling point for Mike Tomlin to any free agent who might want to come here. When you hear people talk about how he invests in those guys. He's interested in making them great players, yes, but also more productive people. And, you know, if you're a player, that resonates with you. And so I think that's one of the best things about Mike Tomlin. Does he have to do a better job with maybe hiring assistant coaches? Sure. Does he have to win bigger games? Sure. Clock management? All coaches have these kinds of issues. But that's the one thing that he takes, I think, very seriously, his relationships with those guys beyond the football field.
I also thought, and I was just looking at this, and apparently I've been – proven wrong. I thought that Cologne was still on the team. You said 2010?
Yes.
Yeah, apparently not. I thought he was on the team and just got hurt because then they traded for Flozell the hotel.
Yeah.
Flozell.
Yeah, big Flozell,
like
Adams.
Flozell.
That was a good move back when they made it. I mean, he was an old man playing out at right tackle, but he did fine. Yeah, I guess Cologne wasn't on the team. So, I mean, that actually makes me even think it's even more impressive what Tomlin did there. Like what Austin just said, according to Willie Colon, because here's a guy who's not even on your roster anymore, and you're that concerned about his current well-being.
Absolutely. And a couple things I've never questioned with Mike Tomlin. That is how good of a person he is, how good of a leader he is, and his passion for his craft. But the unfortunate part here is, again, if they don't at least put in a competitive effort in a playoff game, it'll be 8 years without coming anywhere near winning a playoff game. That's lifetimes in the NFL.
And so, that includes with Ben Roethlisberger at your
quarterback
spot.
Yeah, it's time. But no, those aspects, I don't necessarily think they're underrated. Oh, that was a great story by Mike DeFabo. I forget who else in The Athletic that wrote it from a bunch of former players' perspectives. A great story.
Point State Park is getting a big upgrade, guys, as the city gets ready to host the 2026 NFL Draft. So PA is investing $3.4 million to spruce up the park. There's going to be improved walkways, lighting, and improvements to the fountain. And it's all in preparation for the 2026 NFL Draft and the 250th Celebration of America. Do you think that there should be portions of the draft in 26 held at the point? Because a lot of it's supposed to be on the North Shore.
How do you improve the fountain, Bob?
Well, you improve. I'm sure you can improve the water flow. Number one, if
that's the water can shoot higher, 10 feet
shoot higher.
It
can spray. It can do different things. There are techniques.
They can do a whole water show.
How about like the Bellagio? Can have it. In the fountain. If you're gonna spend $3.4 million, you may as well go all out.
That would be amazing. Now that I think of
it. And then, the Point State Waters, Point State Park Waters. Let's go. And
we're gonna be swimming in that thing.
This is a down payment on what they're going to bring into the city economically in 2 years. They have
Bob, what do you have to do with
this.
That so far? Has anybody asked you to be host certain things?
A couple things, but we'll see. I mean, it's still very, things. They're going to have stuff at Point State Park. They're going to have stuff on the North Shore. They're going to have stuff all over the place, from what I understand, and that's a good thing. They're going to show off the city as best it can. They're going to get people from all over, and it's going to be huge for the city in terms of revenue.
Have you done any of those New Year's Eve things?
I used
to
do them all the time,
Did you like doing
first
that?
Night? Yeah, I
first
did.
First night.
Yeah, but then the last few years, the marijuana got to me, man.
Marijuana got to you?
Too much of it.
Is that what he said?
I didn't smoke, and I'm talking about inhaling it from around.
Secondhand smoke.
And I asked the one officer, I said, let me ask you something. If I go home and I'm pulled over and I smell like marijuana, but I didn't smoke, am I still liable for this? Do I? He laughed. He said, no, you'll be fine.
So, wow.
But I mean.
This took a turn, Donnie, didn't it?
It's just one of the, they still do it, and they do a nice job with that stuff. It's fine. You got the ball, the future ball of Pittsburgh raising to the top. Instead of dropping, it goes up. And they have good entertainment there, too.
Have you called the actual?
I do the 10 count.
Dropping of the ball or the raising of the ball? Does the ball go 10. Up or down?
It goes up.
And you've called that?
Mm-hmm.
I got to start watching that more. Screw Seacrest. I don't need to watch him.
That's your competition. That's a tough thing. But I see from a local point of view, we do get good viewership because we always would televise it. And there are people who want to see what's going on in the city of Pittsburgh with local talent. And that's
Donnie,
have
you ever seen the ball dropping?
Live?
Right. On New Year's Eve.
Would you go if you had to go to New York, let's say?
That
sounds like a lot of work just to get down there.
I'm more interested in Pittsburgh right now.
I'm just asking. From a lot of people who do that, I don't know.
Times Square one, no. Yeah, I've also heard you basically have to wear like an adult diaper.
You got
to
get there.
You would never find
the bathroom.
And that's not good.
Everybody there is in diapers?
No. You could be. You're not going to find an outhouse available.
No, the first shot every year, my wife and I say, that looks like the least enjoyable place to be on the planet now.
You'd lose your spot. First of all, where would you find a bathroom?
If you guys went, would you wear a diaper, Donnie?
No, but I think I'm sure there's people.
You came
that do.
Into this world with a diaper. You will leave.
I'm
going to
go out of it.
If we take Donnie there, we can take him around in a stroller with a baba and
a beard,
a diaper,
be
and a beard.
He'd
be
the oldest, youngest beard baby I've ever seen.
It'll be like the circus.
He gets a binky at noon. Donnie in his high chair eating little mashed peas during the performance.
Did you eat mashed peas or did you like squash?
I'm sure I did.
You were forced by your parents to eat just about whatever they wanted to give you.
On the note of the draft, though, I am really excited for that. Like, there's going to be people that are, annoyed that it comes to the city. But, I mean, it's going to boom economy-wise, which is very good.
I'm glad about,
Plus, I mean, me individually, I hope that I can be some sort of part of that. Like, I would hope that the powers that be here, that 2 years from now we do some sort of live show from somewhere down there when we do our draft coverage that night like we do.
I just want to be alive 2 years from now. That's all I care about.
Hey, before that, though, there's U.S. Open. That's coming up before that one.
I
want to
do
a
show there and at least
that's
hit
a
on
big
the
big event.
Can we hit it, Oakmont?
You keep asking these things.
Please get us set.
Your hookup's right here, Joe.
I have a friend who texted me the other day after listening to our show.
Really?
Yes.
What'd he say?
I'll show you afterwards. His name is Greg. He's a good man, and he made something available that I think would not have been made possible except for your begging.
Yeah.
I mean, it just became...
Never too proud to beg.
This is like Christmas morning for Joe.
I want to see you stand on the tee with, Dustin Johnson.
So do I.
And hit after him.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
I'm going to heckle those guys.
You're
going to
be like
Caitlin
Clark when she shanked one left and right into somebody's...
Did you see that? It was a line shot over somebody's head.
She didn't even, I would have been flinching. Oh, my God, what did I do to you? But she put another ball down, took a mulligan, and swung again. She didn't even care.
She said, sorry. And then she put a ball down and hit again. Yeah. I'm glad for all the businesses. I'm glad that it's coming here. But the actual, the draft being in Pittsburgh out of 0 to 10 excitement meter registers a 0 for me.
Boo! A zero.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about the draft.
That's terrible. You're no fun.
I mean, you watch it, though, right?
First round, yeah.
Really?
First round, yeah.
I love the draft.
Oh, I'm a nerd with
it. I think it's
I'll watch all
very
3 days.
Revealing. It's like the dating game. You don't know what's coming, who's behind door number 3, 2, or 1, and you get to, you know, you're going to make a pick.
I think it's the most overhyped sporting event in America.
Credit the NFL for that. They know how to market.
Yeah. They know what they're doing.
They're an absolute monster.
Next thing you know, we'll get the combine here and have a bunch of guys running around in their underwear.
I bet you you bring that up. I don't know if you did it facetiously or not.
I did.
I know it's been in Indianapolis, but why not move that thing around, too? If you're going to start moving drafts, it used to be New York City only. Now it's everywhere. Why wouldn't you have people coming in watching these things? If that's what they watch, poker on television, they watch cornhole, they watch whatever they watch. You don't think people would watch? They do it now.
You can narrate.
I watch it.
I won't. But you could narrate balls dropping there too, Bob. Everywhere
you can.
I think they should have draftees come down on the incline, and then once we get to like the fourth pick,
that
it'll
would
break
be
down.
Incredible. It'll, oh my God! Have like Roger carpet, Goodell. They could hug Goodell at the top of the incline. Then they ride down together with Goodell.
Except we'll get four picks in. It'll be closed for service.
Exactly.
Does PennDOT run that too?
I'm still ticked off at them from the Taylor Swift show. Did I tell you about that?
At PennDOT?
I don't know about PennDOT. Whoever runs that thing, they acted like it was any other night.
Oh, the incline.
Yeah, I wanted to go back up. I parked my car at the top of Mount Washington.
Story. I remember that story.
And they closed it at midnight, the same as ever. I'm like, I knocked on it, and the guy's like, oh, no, we're shut down. I said, we just had the biggest event in the history of the city. Could you stay open for 10 more minutes?
Start raving mad at that point, I can imagine.
I left them a blistering phone message that night. A blistering phone message. Limits, what's next?
All right, two more. Big Ten Championship, Oregon, Penn State. Who do you have, Bob? And Nick Costos said that he has Penn State right now because this is not actually that big of a game, which I kind of disagree with him on.
I do too, because I think you get an automatic spot and 1 week off. I think there's a lot riding on it as it's currently constituted. I know, Joe, you don't want to do anything with championship games, but they're here and they're now, and that means they're important. So I think Penn State's it's 3.5 points. I expect a really close game. I do. I think Penn State could be up for this, but Oregon's talent is very significant to me. So I would like to see Penn State cover in a close game at Oregon to win.
Now, this was just meant for Bob, though, right? Because we're making our pick on this.
You guys can give any opinion that you'd like.
We can talk about it. Sure, we can.
I mean,
of course we can, Donnie. What was the question? Who do we want?
Who do you want?
Yeah, he more so asked Bob. I don't know if that's just because he was leading off.
Just because Bob has been going first,
I mean, to me, it's another test of a big game opponent for James Franklin. And it's another opportunity if you're pro Penn State to finally see the guy get it done, or if you're anti Penn State, you're thinking, well, it's a big game, James Franklin. We know how this one's going to go, and it's
I've been
not
thinking
good.
Of ways to numb myself for the rest of my life, the way the world is and everything else. I'm looking at Madden right now, so I'm thinking of getting back into video game addiction and just sitting down there and having 16 game seasons, Donnie. What do you think?
I think you could stream that too. Maybe.
Bob, do you play video games?
I used to. I don't. No. I have a hard enough time. I was engaged in a couple of fantasy football leagues. I won 1 year, and I figured walk out on top, and I've never done it since, and I don't want to do it. It's too much work.
I want to play, Donnie. I'm getting the itch to play video games, but really the itch is just to disappear and never return.
I mean, I don't even play a whole lot. I mean, Pomp's the busiest guy in the city of Pittsburgh, so I can understand him not having time, but like I barely...
Well, we could put headsets on and play each other even though you're at your house, right?
Well, we have to have like the same system or the newest version.
I'll buy you a system. I'm really interested in numbing myself forever.
You know how much it costs these days?
I don't care anymore.
They're like $500.
He does more reads than anyone here, so he has no problem with finances. I can tell you that.
He just did like 12 during that last break.
To answer your question, I don't care who wins. I don't care about the game either.
Oh, come on.
But thank you for asking.
You get on me for not making predictions sometimes. We're asking you to make one, and you backed out. Yes,
he said, who do I want to win?
That's a prediction.
Well, Joe, they see him every week. They know what they're capable
of. Coaches know these guys better than me. I don't know. I guess I want Penn State to win. I have family who loves Penn State, my stepson and his wife, men at Penn State. They just had a granddaughter. They had a daughter. It's my granddaughter and everybody else's granddaughter. So, yeah, I want to see them happy, Bob. I'd like to see Penn State win. What do they get out of it if they win?
I mean, they're going to pretty much get, yeah, probably the top seed and a bye.
A bye. It's important. One less game to worry about.
But it would be no home playoff game. And then finally, Pitt Volleyball starts the NCAA playoffs this weekend. Do we think Pitt has a realistic chance to win the national championship?
Yes.
A realistic chance. Yes. They're ranked number one in the country, and they've been to 18 Final Fours in a row. What kind of question is that limit?
Yeah, but they haven't been to the championship game yet. I think they're going to go and win it all, but do you?
Yeah, so do I. Well, I mean,
the better question is how many sets will they lose along the way?
I wouldn't be that confident. They're going up against some serious.
And they already have. I'm asking
serious
you,
competition.
Okay, how many sets will they lose along the way?
Assuming they get to the final?
Yeah, they.
Okay,
because say they win it all.
Once they get in the Final Four, you're going against teams
that.
With seven footers practically and
I'm
things like that.
I'm still asking the question, how many sets will they lose? Because the tone of this season has been they don't lose sets. They went through the first 15 matches, I think.
For sure. They're unbelievable, by the way, and I have tickets to the games today and tomorrow, and I'm quite happy with that. Would you like to go, Bob?
You know, I was going to go, but I have to read tonight.
Call in sick.
At Kennywood. 'Twas the night before Christmas with my daughter, Selena. So we do that every year.
Donnie, do you want to go to the volleyball games tonight?
Well, Sarah and I do have dinner plans. This is my first free Friday
middle of August. I would shave, and she won't want to go out with you. So
yeah,
that's
it.
Now you have a free night.
Then you'll be free. Limits, do you want to go to the games?
I would love to go to the games, but I'm announcing basketball.